Campus Chronicles is the ultimate podcast for college students seeking real stories, honest advice, and empowering insights to thrive in student life and beyond. Hosted by Brooke Young and the Campus Chronicles team, this weekly show features inspiring interviews, practical tips, and conversations that tackle the challenges, wins, and personal growth that comes with university life. Perfect for college students, campus leaders, and young adults looking to make the most of their journey, one episode at a time. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube, and join the community redefining what it means to thrive in university. I am beyond excited to be here with a friend of mine, a personal friend, and someone that I admire so much. We have Adrienne Garland. She is a professor at Rice University and NYU, and she's just a great human being. So we are delighted to have her today.
Hello, Brooke. I am so happy to be here.
Oh, I am so happy to have you because I know our conversation is going to be fabulous. But for those that don't know you, aren't familiar, give us the little context of what you teach.
Oh, yeah. So it is a topic that is near and dear to my heart, something that I am, I guess, constantly practicing. But I do teach entrepreneurship at NYU in the Tisch Center for Hospitality. So people that are specifically studying to go into the hotel industry, the travel industry, event management, and even some commercial real estate and real estate financing. So that's a lot of fun. And then I also teach a marketing, a customer relationship marketing management class. And at Rice, I do two things. I teach an entrepreneurship class called The New Venture, which is a 5-week sprint entrepreneurial class, which is amazing. And then I am the faculty for the online MBA program, Global Field Experience. So we take MBA students to different countries, and they work with startup businesses in those countries on a particular consulting project. And it's sort of the joy of my life.
I like that. The joy of your life. As far as entrepreneurship, what do you believe makes a successful entrepreneur that no one talks about?
Oh, this is good. That's such a good question. It's funny because I was actually just speaking to somebody today that puts on events for startup entrepreneurs. And I said something that I thought was controversial and he totally agreed with me, which was amazing. But I said, I think the X factor with entrepreneurs is actually themselves. So it's all about your mindset. And I think that the entrepreneurs that understand that, you know, maybe they were the ones that had the idea that started the business, that the business is bigger than they are. And it must be in order to continue to grow and to thrive. If you can separate yourself from the business, you're going to have a successful business.
Mm-hmm. And separate, I think emotion can play such a big role for entrepreneurs because you're deeply and intimately connected to what you have created.
Yeah, that's it.
What are the differences you see in your entrepreneurship students versus, say, your hospitality students?
Well, those two students are actually one and the same. So the hospitality tourism students, they are taking an entrepreneurship class, which is actually super interesting because so much of that industry is a service industry, right? So all of the students have this service type of mentality. We were speaking about in class last night. So much of what they wanted to do as far as making an impact, they talked so much about creating an environment where, whether it was a restaurant or a hotel, where when people came into it, that they felt comfortable and that they felt like it was home and that they could be who they are. And every single one of them said something to that effect. And I was so struck by that. And then I asked them, you know, do you all feel like you want to create this because this doesn't exist for you? And they all said, yeah, like they don't feel like there's any place where they can go that they don't feel like a number or that they don't feel like, you know, a marketing tactic or a revenue figure. You know, they don't feel like people. They don't feel like they're treated like people. And so they want to create this. And I just thought that was so beautiful.
It's incredibly beautiful and sadly dehumanizing.
Yeah.
Because I can see that in the way that even social media treats young people. It's all about clicks. It's all about capturing and garnering your attention, but never really treating you like you matter. It's what can you do for me?
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The service-based mentality you're talking about, how do you teach that? What do you believe you instill to create a successful service-based mentality in a world that is, to our point, very self-centered?
Yeah. I think entrepreneurship is like a very interesting avenue to talk about that. So I think because these students are in this program, they've sort of self-selected, right? So they inherently, who they are, at least what they're studying now in their lives, is very much about being hospitable, right? Creating great experiences. But when they start talking about business and the business they want to create, it goes very much toward what they want to do. I want to create this. I want to do this. I, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just a little bit of a shift. So when we start talking about, that's amazing that you want to create this, but who are you creating it for? Because it's not for you. It's for other people. So you need to now take yourself out of the entrepreneurial role and put yourself into the shoes of the customer. And so when we talk about, you know, how do you market? What's the messaging? What's the value proposition? I have to do a really good job, and I don't know if I always do it, but I have to do a really good job of explaining. Don't tell me about all your bells and whistles and features and functionality. Tell me how I, as the customer, am going to feel after I've interacted with you. And so that helps them to connect with the customer and their point of view more. And once you do that, you can start to solve problems or create something that's unique, that is truly from a customer point of view and not just from profitability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I love about the way that you teach, is you do put yourself into the consumer's shoes, because it's about the consumer's life experience and what they feel and what they go through and what troubles them and what keeps them awake at night,
yeah,
as much as it is about what you want to create. Because I can create things all day long.
Right.
If no one wants those things, then I'm going to be left feeling frustrated, doubting myself, feeling sad. And we see that a lot with entrepreneurs, is your first business idea or subsequent business idea is not always going to be successful, because we're not really choosing intentionally about how we want somebody to feel when they, A, come into contact with our product, and B, what do we want them to feel when they leave?
Yeah.
Right? We want them to feel better. We want them to feel relaxed, renewed, whatever it is.
Yep.
So I love how you experientially talk about this. That's one of the things I love about you. And I always learn from you. Aww. And I think it's so important, because we're seeing a huge global shift of people wanting to be entrepreneurs. That's a big thing now.
Yeah. I think it's a big thing now because I don't know why. I'm speaking from my own lens. So what I think...
We like your lens here.
Okay. What I think is that we have grown very tired of people telling us what to do, how to be, how to show up, how to speak, how to behave. And that worked for a long time. And we still need that in the world. But we also need change, because change is the thing that is going to lead us to innovation. It's going to, I think, lead us back to our humanity. So if more people can step out and actually know how to create a company, then we'll create, I hope, better companies. And just to go off on a tangent a tiny bit, I don't think that the school system, starting from when we're young, does a good job of teaching people how to be independent thinkers. And it translates into, they don't teach them that entrepreneurship is a very real option for them. The education system teaches us how to be a worker.
And how to rely on other people.
Yes. So if we could like roll this all the way back to middle school or even elementary, you know, instead of just repeating facts and figures, which we don't even need to do anymore because the internet holds all the facts and figures. But the more that we can teach people how to think about things, how to question things, how to maybe think about how to improve things or make them better, where and the connections are.
How to bring their personality yes. into it, which is so huge in the world of AI.
So huge. If we can teach people how to do that, then I think we can cultivate stronger entrepreneurs that understand some of the things that we're talking about earlier on.
And the internet, it paints such a picture of, I started a business, now I'm raking in success. That is the influencer view of entrepreneurship. And with people being exposed to that view younger and younger, if your business doesn't take off instantly, if people don't instantly like what you do, so many people are inclined to feel like it's a failure.
Yeah. And the trap with that is that people feel like their business is a failure, but because often that first business is very much about what, you know, who you are and what you want to do, maybe what your expertise is. When that thing fails, it's not just that the business failed, it's that you failed and then you're a failure as a person, as a human. And that becomes an identity, and then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. I'm a failure. No one ever is going to want me. People, blah, blah, blah. It's terrible. It's a really bad loop that you can get into. And, you know, I'm talking about this like, oh, other people. I mean, I personally have experienced this. Oh,
I've been there too.
Failed. Yeah. And it hurts and it sticks with you.
It's crushing because, to your point about the identity, it can feel like an identity crisis.
It is.
As if you were almost being rejected because I loved this thing so much. I believed in this thing.
Yeah.
But you rejected it. And it feels very much like a personal rejection. And in many ways, it's the same for the body.
Yeah. And it's 100% the same. And it goes back to the, you know, one of the early questions that you asked me, like what makes a successful entrepreneur? It's the entrepreneur that can separate the business from themselves. And so I hear so many people talking about, oh, you know, this business, it's my baby. And I have a very good friend who's a therapist, and she actually has a thriving therapy business, which is so needed now. She has about 25 therapists on staff. But she told me very early on, don't talk about your business as your baby, because you are not going to make sound strategic decisions for your kid.
Oh, no, no. You're very biased when it comes to your child.
Yes. Yes.
And you have those rose-colored glasses on.
Yes.
You cannot see, unfortunately, with everybody's product or business, there are deficits. There are things that could be cleaned up or improved. If you have those rose-colored glasses on, and I have been there too, you never see those.
No.
You defend and you reject anyone that says anything.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that is, you know, maybe that comes with starting a business and failing and moving on to the next thing. Maybe it just comes with like age and maturity. But I do think that it's super important. And I tell this to my students, like, start with your passion, you know, solve a problem. Like, that's the most important thing. Like, make sure that your business solves an actual problem. Test it. Make sure it does. But, you know, once you sort of get out there, you use your passion for fuel. Once you get out there, immediately separate. Like, separate yourself from the business.
Yes.
Mentally.
And that's hard to do. It is admittedly very hard to do.
Yeah. And I'm not good at it. I'm so good at giving advice and not so great at taking my own.
I'm also the very same way. So I understand. Speaking of your students, you observed something very interesting in your courses that you told me about. I want to dig into it.
Yeah.
You observed that a lot of your female students are hesitant to answer questions.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would love to recount the story because they're probably not listening. But so on one of these global field experiences that we went on, what we do at the end of every experience is we do a debrief where I have each group get up in front of everybody and talk about their experience and not so much about the project itself, but how did the project change them as human beings and as MBA students. And there was this one group, and I think that there were three or four women on the team, and there were two men, but one person was not at the debrief. So it was one man and then, you know, four, maybe three women. And when I asked the group to come up, I handed the microphone to do the debrief to one particular woman who I you know, knew would speak because all week she had been sort of vlogging and doing some social media things. And she really has a very outgoing personality. So I handed her the mic. She pushed the mic away and handed it to the man on the team. And that sort of surprised me a little bit, but I went with it. And then, he was sort of done speaking for a minute or so. And he went to go hand the mic to another team member, another woman who is super brilliant. She just blew me away with her maturity and her intelligence. And she said, no, I don't want to talk. And so I don't know whether she spoke or someone else did, but as they were sort of walking off the stage area, I called them over. And these are not undergraduate students. These are women that are, late 20s, early 30s. And I said to them, if anyone ever hands you the mic, you take it. And I said,
100%. Promise me. Yeah. Listen to that.
Yeah.
Hear that. Receive it.
Yeah. Take it. And they were like, okay. But it's not, it's like in those little moments where you think it might not matter. I mean, they were in front of their MBA peers, they weren't on a national stage or anything like that, but it doesn't matter. In the small moments, in the big moments, take the mic, ladies.
Yes, absolutely. And to your point about that hesitance to say something, to raise your hand, to share your insights, it is that self-fulfilling prophecy of there are so many brilliant, accomplished, talented, compassionate, empathetic women with amazing perspectives. And those perspectives don't get heard unless you share them. And then they don't serve others. They don't help anyone if they stay inside you.
Yeah. And often they're the insights that you hear and you say to yourself, that's exactly what I was thinking, right? But if we don't hear that, then we're not validated. And it creates this like self-fulfilling loop that like, oh, maybe I shouldn't speak up because my perspective seems different, but that's what we need. We need, and it's not different actually, it's 51% of the population are thinking the exact same thing. Or they're wanting to hear from you. And when we're not speaking, we're not sort of showing everybody else that, wait a minute, this is the way. Wait a minute, this is what I actually think, not what that guy said. And nothing against the men. They are brilliant and accomplished and everything too. But it's so one-sided. I just feel like the world is one-sided. And it's not that men's opinions are wrong. They're a lot of times right, but it's unbalanced.
Mm-hmm. Very unbalanced, teeter-totter. As a professor, do you wish more women spoke up?
I do.
How do you think your classes would be different if they did?
I I think that there would be more connection and support. There are definitely women in my classes now this semester that speak up. I see the, and but it's not every woman. It's the women that are, they have had confidence in speaking up, even if what they're saying might not even be great. They are the ones that have maybe played sports when they were younger, or they, you know, were involved in some type of, you know, dance thing or something where they were traveling and having to, you know, get up in front of people. It's the one that almost like, since they were young, they were putting in the reps, if you will. They were given the opportunity, and so they're a lot more comfortable now. Those are the women that speak up in the class. And then there are other women, and sometimes it's cultural because we have students at NYU and at Rice, more at NYU, from all over the world. And so also you see some things culturally where women are not encouraged to speak up at all. And that really, you know, that bothers me. And then it's almost a double bind, because in some cultures, when you call on people to speak up, it puts a spotlight on them that is, it's almost like you're, not that you're, it's like you're calling them out for doing something wrong. And so it's almost a no-win situation. If they don't speak up, you know, that's an issue. But then if you call on them, then that's an issue. So that's a very difficult thing to contend with.
When a woman does speak up in your course, what do you want her to know about what's going through your head? Because I think that's the concern that so many women have is, what if I stumble? What if it doesn't come out right? What if I look stupid? What do you want them to know about what the professor thinks?
That's a really good question. I attempt that when they are speaking, that I know they look over at me, and I'm constantly giving them assurance that what they're saying is right on. I don't even care what they're saying sometimes. I nod, they look at me, I give them a thumbs up. I say, like, you know, keep going, like, good. You know, I give them the eyes. and I think that makes them feel better. I'll share one other thing there's a lot of anxiety in the students now, not just women, it's across the board, and they share it with me. They might not share it in class, but they share it with me privately, or, you know, in an email, or through, maybe, like, I give people a lot of assignments where they have to reflect on something. So it comes up, and this one particular student, she's a graduate student, and, you know, she's a New Yorker through and through, doesn't have a problem speaking her mind. I've had really amazing conversations with her. To me, I'm like, this woman is amazing, right? She's just incredible. Well, she definitely suffers from anxiety, and I have people throughout my classes get up and speak in front of the class to build that muscle. And she did a final presentation for something that, you know, a business that's on her heart, that's really interesting. And she told me in the final reflection that she thought that she was going to be judged, and that she was so happy that I create an environment throughout the class that feels safe for wild ideas, safe for, you know, personal things that you want to turn into a business. Like, I welcome that. And when people sit in some of the things that the students want to create are crazy, you know? And I'm like, oh my gosh, tell me more about that, because I don't think that there's a lot of encouragement. I think there's a lot of like, oh, you can't do that. Oh, have you thought about that? Oh, that doesn't sound like it's going to make money, you know? And I want to encourage them that like, okay, maybe it won't fly, but you'll never know unless you attempt it, unless you try, unless you at the very least explore it in your mind. So she told me that she was so just thankful that I created this environment that allowed her to shine. And she was so proud of the fact that she was able to get up in front of the whole entire class and discuss her quote unquote crazy idea, which wasn't even that crazy. And it's stuff like that that makes me know that I'm doing the right thing.
That has to be so rewarding.
It is.
It is. I have a hard question for you.
Yeah.
This is my signature question. Oh. So if you have three pieces of advice for university age students, they can be about anything. What would those three pieces of advice be?
Number one, it's so important to really get to know yourself. I think more work has got to be done on sort of getting quiet and listening to yourself and making sure that you're being very kind to yourself. You need to love yourself. And I know how hard that can be for so many people when we feel anxiety, when we feel, you know, like everybody else in the world is killing it and we're over here, you know, with our cat and no friends or something like that. But there are people that want to connect with you. And so if you connect with yourself first and you tell yourself that you're worthy, you know, I think that everything can bloom from there. So advice, you know, however you can, even if maybe at first you don't believe it, like really do a lot of work to find something that you truly love about yourself that is unique and lean into that. The second thing I would say is stop listening to everybody else to tell you what to do with your life. They don't know. They don't know. You know, you could take advice, you can talk to them, you could talk it out and all of that, but don't let anybody shame you for something that might be in your heart, you know? At least attempt it or try it.
I love that. A little bit.
Yeah. Right? Because that's like why we're here. We're not here to do the same thing as our parents. We're not here to be the same. It's like evolution, right? Like yes. Diversity keeps the planet alive, right? If everything was same, it would be so boring.
That is such a brilliant point. It really is. And it's so true.
Oh, and then I think it's so hard. University students, I talk about this with my friends all the time. Like I just turned 55 the other day.
And, congratulations.
Oh, thank you. And I'm like, I want to go back to school now. You're like, I want to go to undergrad now because it's like I'm so curious about everything. And so when you're young, I think there's so much of like, you're so uncertain about yourself that it obscures the learning. And so like, if there's any way to focus on learning something like that you really love and like, don't just phone it in, like tap into the learning that's happening, that adds richness to your life. It just does.
Mm-hmm. Being all of you really does benefit the people around you.
Yeah.
And that's what I hear you on that third point. And you're right. Leading with curiosity is important, but it's hard to do when you're wrapped up in you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, if people want to follow you on social media, they want to get some more wisdom from you, where do they go?
Thank you so much. They can go to sheleadsmedia.com. And I also have a podcast. So if you want to hear about successful women entrepreneurs, people that are doing amazing things, my podcast is the She Leads Podcast.
And you should definitely listen. You are going to grow, hear so many perspectives, and so many amazing women are going to be handed the microphone.
Yes, exactly. So
that's what I'm doing. Thank you for creating that space.
Thank you. Thank you for creating this space. This is amazing. Well,
thank you for coming on and just sharing your wisdom and your insights with me. I appreciate it so much.
This was wonderful. And thank you. Thank you for hosting this. You do an incredible job.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you. And thank you everyone for listening to another episode of the Campus Chronicles podcast.
So if today's episode gave you life, perspective, or just a much needed moment to breathe in a busy world, I don't want you to keep it to yourself. Share it, tag us, please send it to a friend who needs to hear it. And if you're not on our newsletter yet, what are you doing? Go to campuschroniclespod.com and join the crew. We have all the behind the scenes things, unfiltered thoughts from me and the team, bonus resources, and insider only invites to events, giveaways, and things that we really don't post anywhere else. I promise I'm not going to spam you. It's just the good stuff straight to your inbox. Being in university is wild enough. You don't need to miss out on what matters. Sign up now and let's make this next semester the one that you stop surviving and start thriving. Until next time, stay bold, stay curious, keep writing your own chapter. This is Campus Chronicles.